Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
It's so good to be with you today. You, as new additions to the family of the American Baptist Churches of Massachusetts, y'all are officially a cousin church, but as you can tell, I'm from the South. And in the South, we have a term. We refer to another person as being one of your people. And people is a very broad term. You know, it includes all of those cousins and all of that extended family. So y'all are our people now, and we are honored and privileged that you have decided to cast in your lot with us as we work together for the kingdom here in Massachusetts. I bring you greetings from American Baptist Churches in Massachusetts, 265 churches across the Commonwealth, worshiping today in 13 languages, and we are so grateful for your partnership, and I bring you greetings on behalf of the rest of our staff as well. I want to just share, I always like to bring a prayer request from the region, so I will bring you a prayer request today. We are at the front end, or I would say into the thick of our summer camping season at our camps at Oceanwood and Groton. And I'm always fond of saying, you get all those kids together at a camp, what could possibly go wrong? Any of you who've ever been to camp or worked at a camp know of what I speak. So please be in prayer that we have a safe and blessed camp season this year, even as it has already begun at our two camps. So it's great to be with you today, and I was so delighted to hear about the returning group from the mission trip that got back late last night. How many folks, are anybody here go along on that? Oh my heavens. Getting to bed late and getting up and coming to worship, y'all get special points today as far as I'm concerned. And I will avert my eyes if you doze off during the worship service. I'll look this way, so. Well, I have a message for you this morning about your feet. Go ahead and take a look at them, hanging out under the pew there. That's a good place for them to be on Sunday. But I'm going to be talking a little bit today about what our feet do the rest of the time when we are not in worship on Sunday morning. Now, think about how you feel about your feet. Do you like them? Do you even think about them very much? I've always had issues about my feet. Now, I will show them to you. I'll come out here. They're perfectly normal. However, they are carefully disguised in the dark shoes because my feet are exceptionally large. I'm a size 11. Any other ladies in the house that have feet that big? I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Size 11 is a large shoe and often a bit of a challenge to find. And having been raised in the South, my mother, God bless her, said, Mary, I have another syllable in the South, Mary, you need to always wear dark shoes so that you do not call attention to those feet, herself being a size 10. So I obeyed my mother's admonitions for many years, but about 6 or 8 years ago, I was in the Target, favorite place to shop for things you don't really need, and I was shopping in the shoe department, and they had that rack of shoes that are hanging up, and there was a pair of purple suede shoes with gold zippers. And praise the Lord if they didn't have a size 11. They went home with me. I should have worn them today, actually. So I have moved a little bit past the teaching of my mother and have decided that I am proud of my feet. Now, even though most of us don't really think of our feet as the most attractive part of our body, I'm here today to tell you that it is possible for all of us to have beautiful feet in the eyes of God. Now, God doesn't care very much about how your feet look. But God cares a great deal about where they go and what they do. Doctors tell us that our feet are mirrors of our health. When you get to a certain age and you go to the doctor, they start checking your feet, right? Because they can find signs of circulatory problems and diabetes and heart disease by looking at your feet. They play an important role in your physical health. Well, we're learning today that your feet are also important in your spiritual health. They are referred to as beautiful. It's very interesting that the word beautiful in the Hebrew is naha, and it doesn't mean pretty or cute feet with a nice pedicure, but it means befitting, timely, perfectly appropriate. Your feet were designed to go places. It is said on Google, where everything is true, that your feet will carry you in a lifespan the equivalent of 5 times around the earth. It's pretty impressive. And on the average, during the average week, your feet might take you around your home, around your place of work, up and down a sports field. But I'm here today to tell you that your feet can reach into eternity when you employ them to share the good news of Jesus Christ. When they are employed to travel far and near, sharing the good news, God calls them beautiful feet. Now, our scripture lesson today, as you noticed, both of them are about feet. Feet are important in the mission of the church, both practically and symbolically, as a reminder of God's command to go. Paul uses an interesting quote from the Old Testament in verse 15, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news," a verse that first appeared in Isaiah. And we need to remember that in the times of Scripture, people didn't have email or cell phones or Skype or any of those things that we enjoy nowadays. If someone had a message that needed to be shared, it was often sent on foot by messengers. Many times these messengers would travel many miles to carry a message to the hearer. Now, if someone hired a messenger to travel many miles and bring a message, chances are it was an important message. It might be good news, or it might be bad news. For example, in Job, it was a messenger who brought the word to Job that his family had died. So imagine, if you will, being in one of those little villages in the time of Jesus, and you look up over the horizon and you see a messenger coming toward your home. Your heart would pound. Is it going to be good news? Is it going to be bad news? If the news was good, of course, the messenger would be the most popular person in town. That'd be a great job. People might even say, that messenger has beautiful feet, remembering that beautiful means timely. So people would say, just when I needed to hear something good. And friends, we are living in times when there are people all around us desperately in need of a little good news. A lot of people going through very trying times. They don't need to hear, hang in there. They need to hear that God loves them. And God's people do too. So you see Paul's imagery here. Somebody is going through one of these hard times and is getting some good news. And the reply is, how beautiful are your feet. How timely this was in getting to me. In Scripture, Isaiah said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation." Often this is interpreted as a reference to Jesus as the messenger who goes about proclaiming the bringing of the good news of the kingdom of God. So Paul takes what would have been a familiar passage from Isaiah, and he quotes it back to the church at Rome. But he makes a little change. He says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." The messenger who brings the good news becomes those. And guess who those is? It's us. We are the ones who are called to have beautiful feet for God. Now, I believe that there is a reason why Scripture uses this image of feet over and over again. We might wonder, because it's not our feet that tell people about Jesus. It would be our head and our mouth. But I realize that there's probably a really good reason why feet are the symbol that are used here. First of all, I realized it's because there are many people in our world who talk a good talk, but do not walk a good walk. Their words and their walk do not match up. And we know that a message has no power if the messenger does not live out the words. A message about Christ has no power if the messenger does not walk with Jesus. In fact, if a person talks the talk but does not walk the walk, we even have a special name for that person, don't we? We call them hypocrites. We have to walk the walk for our talk to have any impact. I was thinking about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. My life was changed the first time I heard his "I Have a Dream" speech in my early teens in a very racist community in the South. Words of such incredible power. But even Dr. King knew that there were times when you had to go past the words and do something with your feet. I think about the Montgomery bus boycott, when thousands of people refused to take the bus to work, and it lasted over a year. Think about that. People who depended on the bus to get to work would get up very early, because a great many of them would have to walk. Churches around the country, including in New England, sent shoes to Montgomery for folks who literally wore their shoes out walking to work to make a difference for human rights. Sometimes God needs our feet. And feet are personal. I can't separate myself from my feet. I can't send them out somewhere that I am reluctant to go myself. I have to go where my feet go. There's a quote from the great Frederick Buechner who said, "When you wake up in the morning, called by God to be a self again, if you want to know who you are, watch your feet. Because where your feet take you, that is where you are." How beautiful are your feet? People come to know the love of Jesus and experience it themselves when we are willing to be where they are. When Jesus sought to save humankind, he walked with them. Now, if you're my age, which I will leave you to guess, or older, you experience what I call the Field of Dreams Church. If you build it, they will come. If your church had some good things happening in worship and had some good programming, and you opened up the doors, people showed up. It was a good time, but it made American Christians a little complacent. We forgot that the gospel was never so much about gathering people in as it was about sending people out. And so we have this story from the gospel where Jesus says to his followers, to 70 of them, go out into the villages and cure the sick and proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. And these 70 were sent walking with not much more than their feet to carry them. And if a town doesn't welcome them, Jesus says, just wipe the dust of the town from your feet. He sends out 70 of his followers, ordinary people, average people like you and me, on this very important mission. And he has some specific instructions. First, Jesus says, go out in pairs. A reminder that being a believer in the world is not a solitary mission. You know this. You need partners. It's why you're part of a church family and a part of larger church organizations. We all need somebody to go with us into our communities. And it's interesting to note that Jesus doesn't tell them a lot of particulars about what they're supposed to do and say when they go out. They don't have a handy script to follow. He says, go out and be with the people of your community in the name of Jesus and see what happens. We're called to go out and to get in step and to see together what it is that God is already doing around us. And Jesus says, don't take anything with you when you go. Now that's a hard one. I don't know about you, but I rarely leave the house without my giant bag of stuff. It's hanging out back in Stacy's office right now. I have within that bag a computer connected to all of the knowledge of the world, usually something to drink, a book to read in case I get stuck somewhere, and my phone, and all kinds of other little necessities. My husband has a bag. He calls it his attaché. It's a purse. We all tend to go out with a bag of stuff. By the way, have you ever noticed how the amount of stuff you have grows with the size of your bag? I just got a new bag. It's a little bit bigger. Suddenly it's full. I don't know how it happened. It's very mysterious. But here we have an instruction. Go out into the world and don't take anything with you. And I think there's a message here for us that sometimes we have some baggage we need to leave behind when we do our work for the Lord. Churches can have baggage. I'm pretty sure it's not true here. But sometimes churches will get weighed down by the stuff that worked in a different era. Doesn't quite work anymore. Or the stuff that they're doing at the church down the street. Shouldn't we be doing that? We can get distracted if we carry too much baggage. Jesus calls us to go out and mission to our communities and to be fully present here and now. To listen to them and each other with open hearts and open minds, not weighed down by all of the other expectations. What a nice cup holder. I'm a great admirer of things in pulpits because I see this side of here a bit. It's a little bell. Does this still work? Okay, I won't ring it. Jesus also gives them what is perhaps the most important instruction of all. And it's a word of warning. Jesus tells them that this can be a hard assignment. He tells them that they're going to be going out as sheep among wolves. Now there's a happy image, right? Because sometimes it's going to be great. You're going to do some new cool ministry project, and like those 70 who sometimes encountered great hospitality, you're going to have those great experiences. You're going to move together in mission as a congregation and into your community, and you're going to be blown away by the power of God at work. And there'll be powerful encounters with God and with one another, and you're going to feel the Spirit move. And then there will be the other times. When you have what seemed like a really great project, when you go into the community and you are rejected, when you try something new and it just doesn't work, it's going to happen. And when that happens, I urge you to wipe the dust from your feet, not as a protest, but as a way to keep moving forward. To keep letting your feet move you ahead in your mission. But I'm going to close with a word of good news. Wherever God sends us, Jesus' feet have already gone ahead of us. Jesus is with us now and is waiting for you in all the places to which he's calling you. And when you get tired or discouraged, when your feet ache from the work, literally or figuratively, when they feel like they're just caked with the dust of inhospitable places, remember that we serve the Lord who washed the very feet of his disciples. Let God lead your feet together into his work. And my prayer is that all of you would return like the 70 who were sent out, full of rejoicing at the wonder of the God we share.